We were in this passage about 3 years ago, but I want to bring us back here this morning because of its pertinence to our time and to our nation. This message will be a little bit different this morning. I do not desire to be heavy whatsoever, but I think we need to be. I think there needs to be some gravity and some seriousness. I think we need to think about where we're at as a nation. Daniel chapter number 9. No doubt many of you either saw or heard some of the excerpts from our president's State of the Union address Thursday night. He declared that our nation is at an unprecedented moment in history. And to that I completely agree. Absolutely agree. However, he stated that we are so because of many reasons, but he began with several. He said that we are at an unprecedented moment in history because of our neglect of Ukraine, because of January the 6th, 2020, and because of those who are against murdering unborn human beings. We are at an unprecedented moment in history, he said. He made a couple of statements, he made many statements, but I'll give us two this morning. He said, I believe Roe v. Wade got it right. By the way, very unusual for a president to go after the Supreme Court in a State of the Union address, and he did so very directly. He also made this statement. He said, my message to transgender Americans, he said, this is my message. I have your back. He spoke of Medicare, he spoke of Social Security, he spoke of affordable housing, he spoke of forgiving college loan debt, he spoke of green energy, he spoke of a $400 housing credit, he spoke of child tax credits, he spoke of voter suppression, he spoke of climate core, he spoke of more money for education, and et cetera, and et cetera, and he declared that our union is strong and getting stronger. Not one word about America's sin, not one word about America's neglect of a holy God, not one word of America's rebellion toward God's word, not one word of America's need for God's mercy. Oh, he did mention God twice at the very end. God bless you all and God bless our troops. That's always a tack on at the end. No word of America's need to hit her knees in national prayer for forgiveness. When the leader of a nation stands and makes a speech that is absent, and by the way, I don't care what your party affiliation is in here this morning, this isn't just about our current president. This is really, we could say this about the vast majority of our leaders today, national, local. We could say this about many of our leaders today. When an individual, a leader, stands and makes a speech that 99.999% of it is anti-God and anti-God's word, we ought to fear for our nation. We ought to be broken for our nation. You say, but Pastor, it's not me. I'm not for any of that. I want God's word to be lifted up. I want our nation to go back to God's word. I want our nation to be obedient to God's word. So did Daniel. But he still said, we. In verse number 5 of Daniel 9, and we'll get there in just a moment, let me ask us to do this. If you're physically able, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read a few verses in Daniel chapter number 9. And we'll give our children very quietly and very orderly. Miss Beverly will be at the door. We'll allow them to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church. Our children can be dismissed this morning. Parents, make sure you go pick them up after the service. Miss Beverly will hang on to them until you come and get them. Daniel chapter number 9, verse 1. The Bible says, in the first year of Darius. Now understand this, Daniel isn't a young man anymore. Here in Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel has been in Babylon probably for several decades now. He's not a young man. He's not the young man from Daniel chapter number 1. But nothing has changed. In Daniel chapter number 1, we find a young man who had purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. He had been taught some things in Jerusalem. He had been taught truth. And he said, I am not going to defile myself. Same man in Daniel chapter number 9, he's just a little bit older. And it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, in the foreground or in the immediate, Daniel is going to speak. Daniel knows that God has promised, and he promised this in Jeremiah through the prophet Jeremiah. He promised that Jerusalem's, Judah's captivity would only be 70 years. You're going to go into captivity for 70 years, and then I'm going to bring you back to Jerusalem. But also in the future, and we're not even going to see this today, in the latter part of chapter number 9, he is speaking to Daniel's 70 weeks. 70 different weeks of time in God's timetable, if you will. But in the immediate, in the present, Daniel is looking at the fact that he is believing God has promised that we're only going to be here 70 years. In verse number 3, and I've set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. And in verse number 5, Daniel gives an honest, real state of Jerusalem. And if we could use verse number 5 this morning, verse number 5 gives us an honest and a real state of our union. He says, we have sinned. But Pastor, I haven't. Pastor, I don't believe that homosexuality is okay. I don't believe that transgenderism is okay. I don't believe that abortion is okay. I don't believe that adultery is okay. I don't believe that gossip is okay. I don't believe that Daniel said we. He's speaking of Jerusalem. He's speaking of Judah. And Daniel doesn't say our city is strong and getting stronger. No, Daniel says we have sinned. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. The Bible says that Daniel sets his face, by the way, as he does in Daniel chapter 6, and as I believe he did the very first moment he stepped into Babylon, he set his face unto the Lord his God, and he declares the honest state of Jerusalem. we have sinned. And would to the Lord this morning that we, and I know we are, but as a people, that we would be intellectually honest this morning, no matter our party affiliation, and declare, we have sinned. And if that's the case, then what are we to do about it? We can't sit silent anymore. And I'm not saying we have. But there can't be silence anymore. There can't be, well, let's do this. Let's pray. And we'll get right into the message this morning. This morning, I simply want to bring you a message entitled, The Honest State of Our Union. Father, help us today. Father, help us to be bold in our Christianity. Help us to be bold as Americans. Help us to be bold again, most of all, as your children, as Christians. Help us to proclaim the truth of your word. Father, your word is truth. Your word is powerful. Your word is our only foundation, our only sure foundation. Father, may we never leave it. No matter what the culture thinks, Father, may we stand true on your word. May we be like Daniel. Say, Lord, we have sinned. Father, remind us this morning. Help us, Lord. I do pray. And I know our message isn't going to be toward necessarily salvation this morning. But Father, if there's one here today who's never come to the saving knowledge of Christ, they've never placed their faith in the finished work of Christ, in the blood of Christ, Father, I pray that today would be that day, Father, for the believers in here this morning. Help us to be honest about the state of our union, and help us to be willing to do the hard work. Well, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts this morning. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. Let me give you three statements, three truths that we find here in Daniel chapter number 9. We'll develop those this morning. I pray that it'll help us. Pray that it'll help us this morning. I pray that it'll help us not to be timid. Pray that it'll help us not to be timid about speaking the truth of God's word. I pray that it'll help us not to be timid about, you know, here's what I find sometimes. And I don't have social media accounts, but the church has a social media account. It has a Facebook account. I find sometimes that people are ready to like or love or to share something that is not that controversial, but when it becomes a little bit controversial, it's like crickets. Because I don't want to step out on that limb. I don't want to like or love or share because I don't know how the people that I work with and they're friends with me on social media, or I don't know how my family who are friends with me on social media, I don't know how they're going to respond to that. And so, hey, I'm just going to just keep silent on that one. I agree, but I'll keep that to myself. It's time for us to stop keeping it to ourselves. If you heard any or even a little bit of what was... And by the way, it's not just Thursday night and it's not just one speech. It's what our legislators do on a daily basis. They make laws that are the antithesis of the Word of God. They make laws against the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what, many of you in here this morning, you would say that you're very conservative and you would be very conservative politically. I'm going to tell you what, many conservative politicians are getting ready to jump off the wagon when it comes to this issue of abortion. They're getting ready to do it because they believe it's a losing issue. They believe that speaking about it is going to cause them losses. And they're already pushing back against some of these states who have passed laws to completely get rid of abortion. They're backing off of that. Why? If it's truth, it's truth. If it lines up with God's Word, it lines up with God's Word. And that's where we ought to stand. Come what may. Come what may. Let me give you three statements this morning. Number one, Daniel confessed his corrupt condition. Now again, we would look at Daniel and say, Pastor Daniel was good. Yes. But he uses the word we. He said, this is my city. This is my nation. And we, by the way, we have already gone through trouble because we have already gone through captivity. But we are here and we are in Babylon because of our corrupt condition. Look what he says. We already read verse 5. He says, we have sinned and have committed. Daniel confessed his corrupt condition. This is what he says, and we'll walk through it in these verses. He says, we have committed. We are confused. We are cursed, but God confirmed. We are committed, or excuse me, we have committed sin, we have committed wickedness, we have committed iniquity, we have committed disobedience, we have departed from your precepts and judgments. We have committed. Here we have in verses 5 through 15, we have an honest and real state of the union address from Daniel regarding Jerusalem and regarding Judah. We have committed, we are confused, we are cursed, and God has confirmed. Look here, verse number 5, we have sinned and have committed what? Iniquity, and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. There it is. Why had they done wickedly? What made it that they had committed iniquity and that they had done wickedly, because they had rebelled and departed from God's word. It says from his precepts and from his judgments. It always comes back to this. Always. God has given his word. God gave his word to the nation of Israel. God gave the commandments. God gave the law. And he said, look, obey. Now he wrapped all of those laws up in the New Testament in two. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. By the way, those two wrap up all 10. You love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Listen, you're not going to make any graven image. You're not going to take his name lightly. You're not going to use his name as a curse word. We're going to honor the Sabbath day. We're going to keep it holy. We're going to honor parents. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're not going to commit murder. We're not going to commit adultery. We're not going to covet. See, all 10, because so many people today, they say, well, the law is done away with. No, it's not. Not really. Because all the law is wrapped up in those two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. By the way, isn't that where it begins? If you love the Lord the way you're supposed to, if I love the Lord the way I'm supposed to, boy, it'll make a total difference in my life. Right? That therein lies the issue. We don't love God the way we should. We don't recognize him as the Almighty God that Lydia just sang about. Well, he's God, he's good, he saved me, but you know, it kind of stops there. No, it doesn't. Worship happens every day. Worship happens every day, whether I'm in these walls or not. I'm to reverence and obey my God. Daniel confessed their corrupt condition, his corrupt condition. And it all comes back in verse number 5 to the precepts and the judgments. Well, we don't even consult God's word anymore in our politics. Now, I know we have some good state politicians, if you want to call them that, legislators. But the vast majority, they don't even think about God's word anymore. I saw a news segment the other day of a lady who had, and I don't even remember her name, I don't know who she is, but she had been in Washington, D.C. for like several decades, and they were making the point, but she only authored 4 bills in the 40 or 50 years that she was there. You know what I say to that? Amen. The less you do up there, the better for us. The less bills you author, the less you mess things up. It's like we got to have a new bill every day. Why? You ever thought about that? Why? It happens in Nashville as well. I mean, if you ever... Y'all are going to think I'm weird here, but any of you ever watched PBS where they have the Tennessee State Legislature when they're in session? Any of you ever watched that? Or am I the only weirdo in here? Occasionally I watch it, and they'll have the committees and all the different things and all the bills. And man, that guy up there, he's an auctioneer. And he's just rolling out these bills, you know, HB such and such number, SB such and such number, Senate bill this number, House bill this number. And boy, he's just rolling them out. Why do they need so many bills? Is there that much wrong in Tennessee that we need that many bills and that many new laws? Look, they had committed sin and wickedness and iniquity because they had departed from God's word. Continue on. Look at verse number 6. It says, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Jeremiah comes to mind. We didn't hearken to Jeremiah. We didn't listen to him. Jeremiah was right, but we didn't listen to him. Jeremiah was right when he said that judgment was coming. Jeremiah was right when he said that Babylon was gonna capture us. He was right, but we didn't listen to him. Verse number 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Here we go. He said, we have committed. And he said, we are confused. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. Now he's talking about the fact that they're living amongst a different people. They're living among the Babylonians. That's what he's speaking about there when he says confusion of faces. These are different people. They speak differently. They look differently. We're living amongst different people. You not see that today in America? I'm not talking about different skin colors. I'm talking about the heart of man. When you walk into a store and everybody is angry, it's different today. It's different. I've told you before, I almost detest going into Walmart anymore. Not because I necessarily hate Walmart. It's just because everybody's grumpy. It's just everybody's angry. You smile at someone, they don't want to smile back. I mean, you say hello to someone and they just look at you like, why are you speaking to me? I don't know you. Didn't used to be that way. He said, we're confused. And by the way, it's not only confusion of faces, we're just confused in general. And by the way, we are confused because we have departed from God's word. And when we depart from God's word, we are confused. We don't know which way to go. He says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Now we'll get to this at the end, but notice this. Do you notice what Daniel, where his confidence is lying? He is pouring out his heart to God. In verses 3 and 4, he has set his face to seek God. Why? Because he knows God is the God of mercy. He's the God of forgiveness. And he's the God of righteousness. That's where we're going this morning. We'll get there in just a minute. But Daniel is praying in Daniel chapter number 9. In Daniel chapter number 6, he's praying. And he is so because he knows who God is. Yes, God is the God that had to judge Jerusalem and Judah and bring them into captivity because of their sin. But he's also the same God that said, you're only going to be there 70 years. Because I'm merciful. Because I'm a God of forgiveness. I'm a God of righteousness. Verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in the laws which He set before us. Hey, if a law ever goes against God's law, we better listen to God's law. It says, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Now, if it doesn't go against God's law, you better obey it. Amen? Romans 13. God has instituted the government. He has given them a responsibility. Now, they've way overstepped that responsibility. They don't even fulfill that responsibility. But if it doesn't break God's law, then we ought to obey it. But he says here in verse number 10, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Here's the third one. He said, we have committed. He said, we are confused. Then he said, we are cursed. Daniel confessed his corrupt condition, Jerusalem's corrupt condition, Judah's corrupt condition. And he says here in verse number 11, therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And then here's number 4, verse 12, God confirmed. What did he confirm? That what he said was true. And that what he said would come to pass. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us. Remember Deuteronomy, the last part of Deuteronomy, beginning in about chapters 27, 28. You have the blessings and the cursings. Israel, if you do this, blessing. If you do this, cursing. He says here in verse 12, and he hath confirmed his words. God is always true to his word. We may not always be. We may not always be true to our word, but God is always true to his word. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. To whom much is given, much is required. We might say, well, what about countries that don't even care about God? They haven't been given as much as we have. We began as a Christian nation. By the way, you can't argue with me about that. You can try to argue, but I'm not going to argue with you about that. All you have to do is go back and look at the quotes from the forefathers. All you have to do is go back and look at the laws of our land, the Constitution. Our nation was begun as a Christian nation. No questions asked. It was begun as a Christian nation. Are we still a Christian nation today? A lot of Christians still here, but we don't live like it. We don't legislate like it. Verse 13, he said, as it is written in the law of Moses, all the evils have come upon us, yet we, notice this, notice verse 13, all this evil has come upon us, yet, made we not our prayer. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. You know what Daniel says here? He says all of this stuff has come upon us. He said, you know what? We still haven't really acknowledged what we did. As a nation and as a whole, we still aren't praying to you. Daniel is. By the way, I believe Daniel did from the moment he stepped into Babylon and he opened his windows and he prayed back toward Jerusalem. Daniel did. But he said, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Hey, we're living in a nation. We are setting our hope in politicians instead of God. Well, if we can get these people out of office, then it'll all be fixed. Here's the truth. We just replace them with people who are just like them. Maybe a little bit less, but they're not a whole lot different. Because we're not trusting in Him. Because we're not falling on our face and falling on our knees and saying, God, help us. Help us as a nation. God, send us revival. Send me revival. It all starts with us. It starts individually. God, send me revival. God, help me to be as close to you as I possibly can. God, help me. We definitely live in a Laodicean culture in the church where it is our rights. That's what Laodicean means. It means the people's rights. And we're living that way in our churches today, the people's rights. Well, I don't like what the pastor said because that goes against, I have my rights and I can do whatever I want and I can live however I want because I'm under grace. Absolutely, we're under grace. We want to praise God for His grace. We're doomed without the grace of God. But does that mean that I buck His authority? Does it mean that I buck the authority of God's Word? Well, man, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to get sidetracked this morning. Daniel confessed his corrupt condition. He said, we have committed, we are confused, we are cursed, and God has confirmed. Verse 14, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is, what was the word there? Righteous in all His works which He hath done, or excuse me, which He doeth, for we obeyed not His voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renowned, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Number one, Daniel confessed his corrupt condition. Number two, Daniel acknowledged his almighty authority. He acknowledged his almighty authority. By the way, you can use that his with a lowercase h or an uppercase h, because he acknowledges who his authority is and he acknowledged his authority, his almighty authority. Who does Daniel go to? Goes to the Lord. God, you are all authority. God, your word is my authority. God, your word is my foundation. God, your word ought to be the foundation in our nation. By the way, it began that way. Long are the days. And I'm thankful that we have a governor who will occasionally do this. He will call for days of fasting and prayer. But long are the days where we have national callings for fast days of fasting and prayer. By the way, now we have leaders who say, we don't care about your prayers. When we have tragedies, they'll say, see, your prayers don't do any good. We don't care about your thoughts and prayers. Because they don't care about God. Because they hate the thought of someone ruling over them. And by the way, that mentality has crept into the church. By the way, that mentality has crept into our homes. When wives say, you can't tell me what to do. You're my husband, but you can't tell me what to do. See, that mentality has crept into our homes. Can I tell you one, if you go back and study it, don't get mad at me this morning, but go back and study it in the Old Testament. One of the signs of judgment in the Old Testament, of God's judgment, was when the women led. That's tough, isn't it? But it's true. That was one of the signs of God's judgment, was when women led, because there were no men to lead. Because the men had departed, the men had left, and the men were out doing their own thing, and the men were disobeying God. And hey, here's a handful of ladies who are still trying to obey God, and so they're trying to lead. That's just a sign of the judgment of God, because the men have left God. Where are the men in America today? Hey, I've got Bible to back it up, and I'll preach it. I can back it up with the Word of God, so somebody can get mad and that's fine. But I can back it up from God's Word. And that's what we ought to stand on, is God's Word. Because when we don't stand on God's Word, that's when we start to depart from God and we start to capitulate to the culture. Why is it okay in some denominations today for women to be pastors? Because we started to capitulate to the culture. Brother Stark mentioned it a little bit Wednesday night. We start to capitulate to the culture. And so now it's okay to elevate. You say, Pastor, you're preaching against women this morning. No, I'm preaching for God's purpose in the roles of men and women. God has set it up very plainly. That doesn't mean ladies are inferior to men. It simply means God has set up a standard. His order has been set up, and we cannot go against His order. By the way, you talk about transgenderism. It's a smack against God's order. It's a smack against God's order. I'm thankful that the gentleman who is running for governor in North Carolina, he has made it very clear where he stands on transgenderism. And he says, come get me. He says, but I'm right. And you know why he says that? Because he trusts what the Bible says. Are you going to get some blowback from that? Sure, but why should you care? Why should you care? We are more concerned today in offending man than we are in offending God. We're okay with offending God. But I sure don't want to offend man. Now, we shouldn't want to offend either one, but I'd rather offend man than offend God. And the truth is, if we preach God's word, I haven't offended them, God has. Right? God has. God has offended them. Daniel confessed his corrupt condition. Number two, Daniel acknowledged his almighty authority. His almighty authority. Two things quickly. Daniel submitted his faith to the Scriptures. Look, if you would, in Daniel chapter 9, again, verses 1 and 2, specifically verse number 2. Daniel submitted his faith to the Scriptures. Daniel 9, verse number 2. The Bible says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. He submitted his faith to the Scriptures. Look back at chapter number 6. Chapter number 6 and verse number 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, by the way, why did he do that? We don't have time this morning, but if you're taking notes, would you write this down? Here's why he did that. And this is why I believe he did it from the first day he stepped into Babylon. Here's why he did it. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 12. To 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 15. We quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We quote that verse. But in the context there, this is Solomon's prayer of dedication of the temple. And if you'll go back and read that 2 Chronicles 6 verse number 12, beginning there, all the way to chapter 7 verse number 15, he says, if there ever comes a time when our people depart from you and they are taken captive, what are we supposed to do? You know what they were supposed to do? They were to look back toward Jerusalem and they were to pray. That's what Daniel did. So why? Because he knew 2 Chronicles 6. Because he knew Solomon's prayer dedicating that temple. They're to look back to Jerusalem, look back toward the temple, and they are to pray. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. What does it say here in Daniel chapter number 9 and verse number 3? And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications. David acknowledged his almighty authority. Daniel submitted his faith to the Scriptures. Courage, faith in God's promises. By the way, I believe this with all my heart. We're going to need courage in the days ahead. Pastor, I don't like that. I don't. It's America. We're going to continue on as we always have. I would love that. I would love that we would continue as a nation who loves God. But there are some things that are going to have to change if we're going to do that. If God would bring His people into captivity for their sin, we're no different as His people today. Now, thank the Lord we are His people. And He is merciful and He is forgiving and He is righteous. Daniel acknowledged His almighty authority, and that's what we have to do today. Instead of saying our union is strong and getting stronger, no, Our God is strong, and we need to serve Him, and we need to submit to Him, and we need to get back to His Word. And we need to pray. We need to set our face toward Him. Set our hope in Him, not in this or this or this. We're so distracted today. We're so distracted with stuff and stuff and stuff. Boy, the devil's good, isn't he? And when I say good, I mean deceitful. He's crafty, that's what I mean. He's crafty. Brother Steve mentioned it this morning. The nation of Israel in the book of Judges, they go into captivity and they get right with God and they say, oh, we're free again. And, oh, shiny idol. That was good. Shiny idol. And they go right back into it. Oh, shiny idol. And they go right back into it. And the devil has placed so many shiny idols in front of us. We go to them. He submitted his faith to the Scriptures, but secondly, he set his faith to seek. He set his face to seek. Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 12 through 7, 15. Daniel fasted and prayed because he knew his God would hear and would heal. He confessed his corrupt condition. He acknowledged His almighty authority, and that's what we must do. And I know as a people, that's what you do. I know that. This is a room full of people who acknowledge the authority of God. But we must pray that we don't get so pious in our lives that we miss those times when we don't acknowledge the authority of God. And when we get too busy with activities that aren't bad but have no eternal value, at the neglect and at the detriment of activities that have everlasting value. Because that's what the devil wants us to do. The devil wants us to walk away from God's Word. The devil wants for us to allow the day and time in which we live and the culture to determine how we live and how we raise our children. Listen, dear friend, young moms and dads in here this morning, the culture doesn't want you to raise and train and discipline your children according to the Word. They don't want you to do that. And by the way, he'll use family members. By the way, he even used church family members sometimes. And he'll use friends and co-workers and acquaintances to bear down on you and cause you to buckle under the pressure and the stress. He'll whisper in your ear and he'll say, that doesn't work. That doesn't work anymore. That's antiquated. That hasn't worked for decades. There's a better way. Husbands and wives in here this morning, the devil doesn't want you to obey the Word of God when it comes to your marriage. The devil wants you to listen to culture. Husbands, the devil doesn't want you to treat your wife and love your wife the way Christ loved the church. The devil doesn't want you to do that. And ladies, the devil doesn't want you to submit to your husband the way that the church is to submit to Christ. By the way, I don't have to make a caveat there. It's Bible. But if you went and talked to the ladies in here this morning whose husbands are actually loving them the way Christ loved the church, they don't want it any other way. And who they themselves are submitting under the authority of their husband, they don't want it any other way. Nothing better than that. Nothing better than fulfilling God-given roles. Nothing better than that. But the devil doesn't want that. And so now, we have families that are broken. And I'm not saying this to hurt anybody who's been through this or is going through it even now. But we have families who are broken. We have church families who don't want to listen to the Word of God. And what God has laid out when it comes to the husband and wife, when it comes to dad and mom, when it comes to the children. Hey, dad, you're the dad. Be the dad. Be the dad. I've said it before. Listen, we spend too much time talking to two-year-olds. They don't have the brain capacity to dialogue yet. They just need an adult to lead. And dad, that's you. Instead, we sit down with little Johnny and say, well, little Johnny, how does that make you feel? Does that hurt your feelings? Little Johnny, I know you just ripped apart the living room and I know what you should get, but little Johnny, I don't want to offend you in any way. What do you think you deserve as a punishment? And so little Johnny, when he's 16, is out robbing liquor stores. Because the adults in the room didn't lead the way. Well, we dialogue with our children. That's not what God told you to do. Now, when they become teenagers and young adults, we'll dialogue all day long. But when they're 2 and 3, they need a mama and a daddy to lead. And to say, hey, son, hey, sweetie, this is what the Bible says is right, and this is what we're going to do. And you need to obey. Have we forgotten Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? Have we forgotten that? And we let two-year-olds tell us no. Does your two-year-old tell you no and you don't do anything about it? Pastor, we've diverted away from the message. No, we haven't. Because this is where we're at in America. Why? Because we've left God's Word. Because we've left God's Word. My daddy never asked me one time when I was 2 years old what kind of punishment I wanted. And he never asked me if it hurt my feelings. And you know what? It did not hurt me. I probably needed more. It taught me what was right, what was wrong, and it taught me that there's a God in heaven who also keeps score as well. I don't like that phrase. Judah is where they're at because God keeps score. They are in Babylon because they had disobeyed God. Daniel confessed his corrupt condition. He acknowledged his almighty authority. He submitted his faith to the scriptures, and he set his face to seek. By the way, if you let your two-year-old tell you no, they'll tell God no when they're 16. You are the picture of God in that home, Dad. Example it well. With love and grace and mercy and justice and righteousness, example it well. Because you are their example in the home. And if you allow them to tell you no at 2 and 3 and 4, they'll tell God no when He calls them to go to the mission field. And they'll tell God no when they look into the Word and they get into a marriage and they just don't like the marriage and they'll say, well, yeah, I just want to get out of it. And they'll tell God, no, I don't care what the Bible says about marriage. I don't care what the Bible says about being faithful to my husband or my wife. He acknowledged His almighty authority. Let me give you number 3 and we're done. Daniel regarded his Redeemer's righteousness. Would you look at verse number 15? He makes a mention of the redemption, of the redeeming out of Egypt. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. He speaks of the redemption when God brought them out of Egypt. God, you are our Redeemer. And He regards His authority. He regards God. He regards His righteousness, because what He's saying is, God, we are hopeless without You. God, we're hopeless without Your mercy, without Your forgiveness. Look back, if you would, at verse number 9. In verse number 7, He says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee. In verse number 8, He says, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. Verse number 9, to the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. Verse number 16, and He finishes, He's pouring His heart out to God. The honest state of our union is we have sinned. Okay, so what do we do about it? Do we keep saying, oh, it'll get better in November? I hope it does. I'm not diminishing that. I'm not diminishing the fact that folks ought to vote. But is that what we're going to wait on? Or we're going to do like Daniel, who set his face, as he did in chapter 6, verse 10, aforetime, who set his face toward the Lord God, unto the Lord God, the verse says. And he fasted and he prayed in sackcloth and ashes, and he sent up supplications for God to work on behalf of His people. Look what he says in verse 16, and we'll be done. Verses 16 through 19. O Lord, according to all Thy righteousness, I beseech Thee, let Thine anger and Thy fury be turned away from Thy city, Jerusalem, Thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and Thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but there are a lot of nations who don't like us, and it's not because we're a superpower. They don't like us because of our wickedness. They don't like our debauchery. And because we're trying to spread our debauchery around the world. We call it democracy, but it's not democracy, it's debauchery. We're trying to spread that around the world, and people are like, no, I don't want that. Muslim nations, they do hate us because we're Christian, but they hate us because we're wicked. Don't bring your wickedness to us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of Thy servant and his supplications, and cause Thy face, notice this, to do what? To shine upon Thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. To shine upon the temple. Again, I believe Daniel has his eyes fixed back toward Jerusalem, back toward the temple. And he says, Lord, once again, shine on Your sanctuary. Shine on the temple. Shine on us as a people. Oh my God, incline Thine ear. And here, open Thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by Thy name. For we do not present our supplications. Notice this. For we do not present our supplications before Thee for our righteousnesses, but for Thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for Thine own sake, O my God, for Thy city and Thy people are called by Thy name. He confessed his corrupt condition. He acknowledged his almighty authority, the authority of God. That's where he went to. And he regarded his Redeemer's righteousness. His confidence and his courage rested in the Lord because of God's mercies, because of God's righteousness, because of God's forgiveness. Lord, if we're going to have any help, it's because of Your mercy. It's because of Your forgiveness. It's because of Your righteousness. But God, we must acknowledge we have sinned. We have to acknowledge that. The honest state of our union is that we have sinned. So what should we do? We should set our face to the Lord, and we should pray. We should set our face to the Lord, and we should be like Daniel, who didn't just pray, he also spoke. And he said, I will not defile myself. It's almost as if we're living in Babylon today. You know what we need to do? We need to say, because I love my God, and because of what Christ has done for me, and because of who He is and what He deserves for me, I will not defile myself. And I will speak out. And I will say that there are things that are wrong. I will speak out and say abortion is wrong. I will speak out and say homosexuality is wrong. I will speak out and say transgenderism is wrong. I will speak out and say drunkenness is wrong. I will speak out and say gossip is wrong. I will speak out and say that God has set some roles in the family. I will speak out and say it's wrong for a teenager to back talk his mom and dad or her mom and dad. That's wrong. Well, it's just wrong because you say so, Pastor. No, because a holy God said so. Doesn't matter what I say. It matters what a holy God has already said. And we speak out about a lot of things. Right? We speak out about a lot of things. But sometimes we get very silent when things are controversial. And those are the times that we need to speak. Pastor, I don't want the repercussions that's going to come on my family or my business or our church. Why? Jesus Christ spoke out no matter what it brought on him. He spoke. There are some things that are wrong. We need to speak out against quasi-Christianity. Right? We need to speak out on those things. Hey, I'll end with this. This is a good one. For those that are already mad, this will make it even madder. When God washed the disciples' feet, He did it to teach them service. He didn't do it to condone their sin. He did it to teach them service. And we just jump on those things like, oh, that's the greatest thing ever. That's exactly what we ought to be doing. No, it's not. I am not to bend and wash the feet of a transgender in the context of saying, hey, I condone your sin. I am never to do that. You see, the context of the Scriptures is, we take so many things out of context. Well, look, Jesus washed their feet. He washed the disciples' feet to teach them to serve, not to teach them to condone sin. How is a person ever going to get saved if they don't first understand that that sin sent Jesus Christ to the cross? By the way, if all of that stuff is okay, Jesus Christ came in vain. There was no need for Him to die. If all of that stuff is okay, oh, but Pastor, we're not showing the love of Christ. So not telling someone the truth, that's showing them the love of Christ? See, that's so foolish. Because in every other area of life, we want people to tell us the truth. You go to your broker tomorrow, you want him to tell you the truth. You go to your doctor tomorrow, you want him to tell you the truth. You want to go? You go to your auto mechanic tomorrow, and you want Noah to tell you the truth. Right? You want people to tell you the truth, right? Why? So you know how to fix it. I go to my broker. My broker says, hey, you've got some bad investments. Okay, what do we need to do to fix it? Doctor, hey, I saw something. I saw a spot. Okay, what do we need to do to fix it? But when it comes to things of the Scripture, it's like, oh, we're just supposed to gloss over that because when we do, that's the love of Christ. How foolish. No, when I speak and I tell someone, look, that's wrong. God didn't make you that way. God doesn't want you to live that way. I tell them that because I want them to get saved and I want them to live according to the truth of God's Word. Not because we hate them. Don't let somebody label you as a hater because you tell the truth. Now, hey, don't be obnoxious about it. See, that's what gets us in trouble. We get obnoxious about it sometimes. Don't be obnoxious about it. But give the truth in love. But always give the truth. Because without it, people are damned to a devil's hell. The honest state of our union. We have sinned, okay? That's the state of our union. How do we fix it? We set our face toward God. Prayer and fasting, sackcloth and ashes. And we acknowledge His authority and His righteousness. And we pray. And we speak out. And we're not afraid and we're not timid to say, hey, that was wrong. And one last thing, I'm done. It's 25 after. I know I'm long. Several weeks ago, in our state capitol, one of our legislators brought in a transgender pastor to pray. That's wicked. I love Tennessee. If the Lord would allow, I'll live here forever. But that's wicked, and that's a blight on the name of our state. And there are men and women up there who could have stopped that, who should have stopped that. We need to be honest about the state of our union. And then when we're honest about it, we need to do something about it. Father, thank You for the time You've given us this morning. Help us. Father, help us to truly get back to Your Word. Not our opinion, not what we think, but what You have already declared. It's the only firm foundation upon which we have to stand. Father, may You help us to stand there, whatever may come. Lord, help us to stand there. Lord, You call us watchmen in the book of Ezekiel. And if the watchman doesn't sound the trumpet and the enemy comes and the people die, then that blood is on our hands. But if we sound the trumpet and they don't want to listen and the enemy comes, then that blood's on their own hands. God, help us to sound the trumpet. Help us to be truthful with Your Word. Help us to be honest. Help us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed if you're physically able. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, I beg you to come. Believers, this message is for us. What are we going to do? Are we going to be honest? Pastor, I'll vote in November. Great, you need to. What are we going to do in between? What are we going to do today? What are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do in the meantime? Miss Joe's playing. If you need to come this morning, you come. If you need to bend the knee right where you're at, Daniel was honest. He said, Lord, we have sinned. It's a good day when every single one of us can just acknowledge our sin, as big or small as it may be. Whether it's gossip, whether it's a critical tongue, whether it's constantly being critical of someone else, or whether it's one of the words that we consider great sin or even abomination. It's a great day when any of us, when all of us can acknowledge our sin. Dear friend, maybe our sin today is a sin of omission. Maybe it's just the sin of not being as close to the Lord as we ought to be, not giving Him the glory, the place and the preeminence in our lives that He deserves, that Lydia sang about this morning. He is Almighty God. Do we give Him that place, that position? Oh yeah, you've been saved and you've trusted Christ, but do you give Him that position on a daily basis? Lord, my schedule today, my calendar booked today, that's Yours. Lord, my tongue today, that's Yours. Lord, my attitude today, that's Yours. You could only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest, the song says, as you yield Him your body and soul. Lord, I'm yours. As Pastor Stark preached Wednesday night, when we die to self, we die to sin, and we die so that we can serve. Amen. Look forward to seeing you back tonight at 6, choir 4:30, 4:45. We'll see you back tonight at 6. Brother Steve Fry, would you pray for us this morning, please, sir?